You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Let's talk about this Usher single.
Yes.
Your man Usher. Your girl Nicki.
Yeah.
And your man Pharrell.
Yep. Skateboard P.
It's called She Came to Give It to You.
Yep.
How you feel about this record?
This record is dope.
When I played this record in the car this morning, I immediately did the like Soul Train, like one shoulder dip combined with like the little like shimmy the side. Like, I mean, granted, I'm the whitest person alive, but like, this record is ridiculous.
It's dope, man. Really, really dope.
It's Blurred Lines part two.
Yeah, it is.
I'm okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that. I'm interested. I'm actually shocked that people don't like Good Kisser.
It's a cool record. It's not a great record.
I thought it was a dope record. I still think it's a dope record, but now hearing this, it's like, oh, okay, that's the warm up.
Right. Good Kisser is the street single.
Yeah.
She Came to Give It to You is the single.
That is American Idol. That is The Voice. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nicki is flowing her behind off on this record. Her flow is ridiculous.
I have a nitpick.
Uh-oh. Come on, man.
No, it's cool. Her vocals are low.
Oh, it's a radio rip.
It's not. You don't have the CD EQ?
Nah, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Her vocals are low. I suspect that Usher and Pharrell finished this a while ago.
Yeah.
And Nicki jumped on it recently.
Sure.
That's my guess. But it's a dope, really, really dope record.
Yeah.
Again, very much, I feel like I just jumped in a Marvin Gaye time machine. But how is this better than any record Pharrell had on his album?
I don't know, man.
Because the thing is, like, you hear this and it's so, you know, obvious Pharrell wrote this. So like, you're hearing Usher sing it and you're like, I just want to hear Pharrell sing this.
Yeah.
No offense to Usher. This becomes another one of those records.
But you know what? I don't want to hear a final version. I want to hear
You want to hear the rough demo.
I want to hear a demo.
I'd love to hear, I'd love to hear the multi-tracks to this. Like the little woos in the background and everything. Mm-hmm. Like that would be, I mean, because I'm a nerd and that's what I want to hear.
There are some really, really deep details in this song.
Yes, there are.
I need to hear a CDQ, but I was like, yo, there's like five layers of ad-libs under like Usher and under the hook. And
I got ad-libs for your ad-libs.
Yeah. Yeah, really, 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 really interesting. But yeah, this record is dope. I'm really interested to see how the public picks up on this, considering it's a Blurred Lines part two, and then kind of considering, you know, where, you know, Robin Thicke is right now. I wonder, did they just keep the party going, or was it just a bad time to release that type of record because, you know, of the Robin Thicke fake backlash right now?
What do you mean fake backlash?
People really don't like this. People are really mad at this Paula album. Well, not even the album, like musically, because the funny part is I haven't heard anybody say anything about the music. It's the concept that seems to offend people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The concept offends people.
Yeah. Crazy.
I agree with that.
you're offended by the concept? Or
of him using, first of all, he's coming off as stalkerish, and then secondly, we had this conversation on the show last week, right?
You did.
That he's trying to profit off this. You don't think that rubs people the wrong way? Especially considering he was already sort of getting a little bit of a reputation as a little bit of a lech.
Yeah, that part I can understand.
It was the move you could have possibly done.
Don't we all try to profit off of something?
Sure. But public, you know, they, you got to make them believe.
Yeah. You sound like Parappa the Rapper right now.
Shout out to Parappa the Rapper. Mm. They remake that? I needed to remake all the games I played from like 97 to like 2002.
Nah, they haven't. But you know, with the Dreamcast talk yesterday, I did Google and found a website that, you know, sells brand new Dreamcast for, I think, $50 in games for $10.
Oh man, I think I threw my Dreamcast away. But
oh, you buggy. I think I might pull my PS1 back out.
Why? Can't you just play it on your PS3?
No.
Oh, because you got one of the later ones.
I got the later. My first one got the yellow light of death. And I got the slim. And, well, the one I had before, I didn't get the first PS3. I got the second one. First one had the backwards compatible.
With PS2?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. With PS2. Yes.
Yeah, like mine can play some PS2 games, but all the PS1 games.
It can play the blue PS2 games? Because remember there were the blue ones and then there was the black ones?
Oh, wow. Yo, those black discs. Remember how when you would buy the CDRs, you always wanted the cool, like, different looking discs? Like,
absolutely.
I had some that looked like vinyl records.
I used to get the Memorex joints that came, like, in a multicolored pack. It was I always
liked the black bottoms.
The black bottoms were dope. Black bottoms were dope. And, of course, I burned the black album on that one.
Wait, you burned the black? Oh, you didn't have an MP3 player, right?
2003. No, I didn't have no MP3 player.
I had my first. Yeah, I got my first iPod that summer.
Nah, I didn't. I was still living at home. What did I buy? What was the name of that MP3 player that I got initially? What was it called?
Like,
it
wasn't a Creative or a.
I can't think of the name of it, but it had, instead of the turn wheel, it had like this up and down thing. Oh. I can't remember.
We'll call it the MyPod. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah, the MyPod. But it worked for, I paid like $150 for it and it worked for like 3 months. Yeah. So I was like, all right, let me just go ahead and buy an iPod. It was amazing.
My first iPod was the third gen, which was the one that had like the touch sensitive, like, four buttons for, like, yeah. Play, pause, next, stop, and revert and back. And then the weird, like, scroll wheel. But when I got that thing, man, that's one of those moments where I was like, yo, I'm holding the future right now.
That's how it was. I got fourth gen, and I was like, yo, are you serious right now?
You're like, is this even possible?
Yeah, like, that was my first big, you know, I was in Japan at the time, so Japan's, like, you know, technology capital of the world. So, like, I was like, this is it. Like, we are about to start flying in cars next.
You're like, nothing can ever top this. That's like when I got my first BlackBerry in January of 06, and I downloaded Google Maps for it. Now, it didn't have GPS.
Okay.
But I had Google Maps on the first BlackBerry with the side scroll that I had. And I was just like, this is, it will never get better than, you know, I was like, this is incredible. Anyway, anything else about this Usher record? This Usher record's great, though, right? I mean, if you all haven't heard it, please go listen to She Came to Give It to You. It's a great record.
Super dope.
So when's this album coming out?
I don't know. Got to be September. No, got to be August. Got to be late August.
He needs the right video for She Came to Give It to You.
Yeah.
Because people forget. Maybe they don't forget, but like, as controversial as the Blurred Lines video was, it was a dope video, but it worked. Like, that song without that video does not blow up. Not the same way. So, yeah. I don't know. It's a good thing, like, I don't know how old this is, but if they have been sitting on it, it's a good time for it, right? It's almost like by sheer luck that they got, like, considering the success that Pharrell's had over the past year, we're surprisingly not hearing anybody who sounds anything like what he did. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that he had the two biggest songs last summer, and then he had Happy. Do you hear nobody else's? I mean, not that his style is always, and people don't typically clone his stuff, but like, nobody even made an attempt to sound like it. And instead, everything on the radio is DJ Mustard. So this is a perfect move.
Yeah, I'm just happy. You know, again, I'm just happy that the tempos are starting to speed up.
Right. That's a great transition, because we need to talk about Jermaine Terrius Nash.
Let's do it. Was that everything?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, we still got to do Total Slaughter predictions, but I can do that at the end.
We can do that at the end. The Dream, a.k.a. Tarius Nash, a.k.a. Yeah. whatever, out of nowhere. So he gets married this past weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he announces he's putting out this EP, or what, Monday?
Out of nowhere, yeah.
It's called The Royalty Prequel, right?
Mm-hmm.
7 tracks.
Yeah.
What were you, so we, I want to go track by track, but before we do that, what were you expecting when you heard this?
A bunch of songs that sounded like Black.
Okay. Yeah, right. Because he had Black that came out.
Yeah. So I thought he was going to be on like this pro-righteous tip. And I was like, oh man, no. Like, it just made, it makes sense because, you know, if you listen to Clock Radio Speakers, you know that Doc and I are huge advocates for Tarius Nash in the summertime. So I was like, oh, new Dream, you know, but then he put out the Black video and I was like, oh crap, we're going to get it. Which is cool, but you know, I want, you know, I don't know.
What do you want? No, tell the people what
I
want.
I want classic, fancy, shawty's a 10. I want like that Dream, because believe it or not, I haven't been the biggest fan of the Dream post Love King.
I really like my 1.5 of his album last year, but I hear you.
It's cool. It's like, yeah.
There are some really underrated records on that album.
There's some joints.
Equestrian.
Equestrian is dope.
Michael.
Michael's dope.
I like the title track. I like Foreplay a lot.
Yeah. Your man was in town last night.
Who?
Gary Clark.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was in town. Got an invite, but you know, I got the kid with me, so. I sound like a DJ and I just signed a rapper. Like, I got the kid with me.
I got the invite, but I have the kid with me. Right. What was I saying about the Dream? No, so I think his last album had some good songs on it. And in fact, a lot of the bonus tracks that like came out around like just before, just after, there was some like FMBO, I'm going to call it, is incredible. Like,
yeah, I hear that again.
When that record comes on, that's it. I'm dancing, you know, I'm dancing, I'm doing my thing, you know, like that's a great
dancing.
Like, I'm dancing, son. I need to put together a little mix of all of his like 80s Prince-ish inspired records.
Because
that, you know.
I need all his slow jams.
See, you and I like different things about the Dream, and I suspect we are gonna have different opinions about this.
Possibly.
So let's talk about this EP. Track one, Duet.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
It's all right.
This is a dope record. This is what I would expect from 2014, The Dream.
It sounds like it's missing something. This record makes me like
There's a lot of stuff on here that I asked that question with. But
there's some records that was like, all right, where's Tricky at?
I would say that this is like one thing that overhangs this entire project to me is this notion of radio is different now. Radio is different from when the Dream was the Dream.
Yep.
So the thing that list that I'm list that I immediately like started realizing was like, how is he adjusting? So like there are little production flourishes on Duet that you're like, okay, that kind of sounds like what I would expect a 2014 Dream record to sound like.
The Biggie Duets.
Right. It's the Dream, but there's some little things and he's doing this and okay. All right. It's cool. I like it. It's a good like opening record. I'm not mad at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, it was just okay.
It's cool. All
right. Culture.
Dylon.
False.
Dylon. It's weird. It reminded me of, you know why I like it so much? It reminded me of like a grunge record. Like I said last week, I've been listening to a lot of grunge. It just gave me like this weird grunge emo vibe. And I had it on repeat all day yesterday. Record's tough.
It's not. There are some pieces of Culture that I like, but no, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, this is a, this, I, yeah, I think the dream, I don't know. I wonder if the dream doesn't treat this as seriously because it's just a little free project. Cause the mastering isn't quite where it needs to be on this. There's no like transitions like that.
No transitions.
None of that stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. Culture is such a throwaway to me.
Wilding right now.
It's okay.
How you can say Duet is dope and Culture is a
Duet boy. Is way better than Culture.
Anyway. All right. Pimp C lives. I don't like this song.
All right. Look, I'm going to take this from a producer's perspective because there's something that's really wrong with this and I'll explain what it is. I make beats that sound great the first night that I make them. Right? To me. And sometimes I even send them to Armand. But then eventually I realized, no, this was a bad idea. I should not have done this. This is one of those songs. I don't know if there was anybody to tell Terrius, I hear what you're trying to do, but no.
But nah.
But no.
But nah.
Yeah, this should have stayed in the studio.
Yeah, this wasn't good at all.
Right.
Next.
Outcast.
Fire.
This is okay.
Wowing.
It's all right.
Wowing right now.
I upgraded it based off my fourth listen on the way home today. It was, we've upgraded to, it's okay. What do you like about this so much? It's okay.
Well, first off, He sampled one of my favorite songs, Everybody Loves the Sunshine by Roy Ayers.
Right.
Which normally I have a problem with because, you know, earlier this week, Omarion and Bow Wow reunited. Emoji praise hands.
The world was waiting.
Yeah. And they threw DJ Mustard drums on either you want to call it Lady in My Life or Hey Lover.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know what? Listen, I think the problem is that Bow Wow and Omarion did it.
You think?
That was the problem.
Okay.
It's not a terrible record, but it's like the gall, the audacity. Like, that's what you do to that song? But on the flip side, you know, Dream took Roy Ayers and made it his own. He played it over. He sang, you know, some of the melodies and ad-libs from the sample, and then he just turned into a totally different record. And he put that R&B, Uptown Records, Jodeci tempo. Those are the type of records that I like the most from Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And
see, I think a really great example of one of those Uptown Jodeci records is Sex Intelligent and the Remix.
Yes.
This is nowhere near that.
No, but I'm not going to compare those two.
Why not?
For what?
What do you mean for what?
For what?
I'm supposed to forget that the dream is the dream?
Nah, it's just that everything doesn't need to be compared.
All right. I mean, I think dope records.
Dope records too, but right. Outkast can be dope on its own. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's dope, but then when you compare it to, because I mean, if you want to compare anything to any fancy to the rest of his catalog.
Okay. No.
It was the answer was like, it's just different. There you go.
Hashtag.
I was listening to Three Kings last week.
At least there's not a record on here called Hashtag, because that just might put me over the edge.
He's not a rapper, even though he is rapping a little bit. He's not a rapper. That's something a rapper would do.
He thinks he's a rapper.
He does.
He's an R&B singer who wants to be a rapper. We talked about this, and Drake is a rapper who sometimes wants to be an R&B singer.
Yeah, that Ryan Leslie syndrome.
Oh, poor Ryan Leslie. Wedding Bells.
Yeah. I feel like I want to like this song, but I don't.
There is way too much going on in this beat.
Maybe that's the problem.
Like, the idea of taking that melody and playing out on the synths in the way that he does is actually kind of interesting. But there's so much going on. And that's just even before it builds up and he throws his trademark, like, I'm going to have these sort of harmonies coming in on the hook. Like, there's, like, claps and snares and this, like, you know, it's not quite, you know, Swizzy with elbows on the keyboards, but there's a lot happening here.
Clung, 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 clung.
Clap, clap, clap. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I can't get past the beat. And part of it, too, is like, so I listened to this record once on standard like iPhone headphones. I listened to it twice in the car, and I listened to it once on my good headphones. When you listen to this in the good headphones, you're like, oh no. Like, maybe better mixing. Like, Wedding Bells is a record where better mixing and either him or somebody in the studio to go, you need to drop that element out, could have elevated this to at least a good song. But there's just way too much going on. It's distracting.
Yeah.
Lake Michigan.
I like Lake Michigan, but I was expecting, I was expecting a fancy like buildup. And after a while it was like, oh, this is it. But I do like the song though.
This is a big old swing and a miss.
Boo hiss.
Yeah, I'm really, no, I'm good. This didn't need to make it out of the studio. Yeah, I don't know. I'm. It's not offensive. It's just not good. I don't want to hear Dream do records like this. A lot of silence.
A little bit.
I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about Cold.
I like Cold. Somebody's been listening to Mac Wilds.
The first like 20 seconds of this are terrifying.
Because, yes, it is.
Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to sit here and put screw vocals on this Mobb Deep record. And I'm not prepared for this. But then it works.
It works.
It totally works. The Cold and Duet are the best songs on this record by far.
Yep.
Yeah, this definitely kind of works. You know, I'm flipping Mobb Deep records for R&B. When has that ever gone wrong?
I mean, shoot. Mac Wilds did it twice on his album.
Mariah Carey, The Roof.
Yeah, that's always your go-to.
112, It's Over Now.
You know what? I'm not. I'm not.
Stop it.
I hate the replay.
Wah! That's a great record. So that single's perfect. Oh, you're killing me, Smalls. So overall, how do you feel about this project?
I'll say this. I think it's good, you know, for what it is, a free EP. Like, that's cool. I feel like I won't be playing any of these songs, like, by next week.
All right. I'm glad you point that out. Why is this good for a free EP? Why are we grading on a curve?
Because
it's probably, not like he's a rapper who's rapping. It's not like these are freestyles.
I'll say... you trying to throw a little shade? Snooze Button 3 in stores now? Available now?
No, I think that's a great example, right? Where you and I, we didn't maybe obsess over it like we did on some records on Kairos, but there was care put into that.
Yeah.
I feel these records feel like, in a sense, they were in pretty much completed states, but not finished master states. I mean, honestly, it looks like you got some cover art and threw these together.
Sorry, I was yawning. I wanted to respond. And the yawn was, completely irrelevant to your and then I forgot what I was going to say. This is terrible.
It's a lot of shade in this conversation right now.
No. I ain't throwing shade. No shade at all. No shots. Dang, what was I going to say? Oh, I'm grading on a curve. And I'll make this point for the sake of argument.
Okay.
I'm grading on a curve because nothing is out. And at this point, I'll take almost anything from an artist that I like.
God, that sounds so sad.
It does, doesn't it?
I suspect, I don't know. I was going to say, I suspect he's... I keep thinking the Dream's been around longer than he has. He's not an old school artist, not in any stretch of the imagination. I don't know if in this day and age, I don't know if people treat, I know I don't treat them differently anymore, although I used to. I don't know if people really treat free projects different than not free projects. And I think Drake is a fantastic example of somebody who just puts out records.
Puts out good to great records.
That the stuff he just puts out on SoundCloud could easily make his album whenever he wants to.
And makes it, and it goes to radio. 0 to 100 is everywhere. Trophies was everywhere. We Made It was everywhere. Crazy.
Right. So I don't know if that matters as much to people anymore. So in a sense, I'm almost wondering, like, why? Like, I remember, so 1977, there were some records on there, but there were also records where you're like, oh, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't have the lows of 1977, I don't think. What's the record? Wedding Crashers is...
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing that makes you just go, oh, God. But
what? Like, oh, God, this is terrible?
Oh, God, I need to turn this off.
Oh, there are some records on 1977 that I absolutely don't like.
That's what I'm saying. I think 1977, I'm comparing his last free project, had, I think, higher highs, but maybe lower lows than this.
Yeah, I agree with that. My problem is,
there's nothing on here that's really like, yeah. Like, I can't, like, maybe he's... Like, there's nothing on, thank you. There's nothing on here where I'm, where like, I can imagine him in the studio going, I need to get this out right now. And I need a little project to surround it.
I agree with that.
So then why put this out?
I'm looking at this track list for 1977. Totally forgot about Wish You Were Mine.
Oh, it's so dope.
Crazy.
The record with Crazy. Pharrell.
Pharrell destroys that.
Right. So
anyway,
like, to me, it's more like I'm okay with the Dream. I shouldn't say okay. I'm more okay with the Dream not putting out a great project if at the very least I feel like he's swinging for the fences, or he's trying. Like, if he tries to do something great and it doesn't work, cool. This does. This doesn't feel like any attempt to be great. These feel like most of these feel like they're on autopilot.
I understand. So this is like the equivalent to, you know, in the mid 2000s where, you know, you had to put out a mixtape before the album. So, you know, we knew that, you know, there's going to be 20 tracks on the mixtape, 17 on the album, and we knew that they were going to, but, you know, the first 5 or 6 tracks were going to be amazing, and then there'd be a lull. Like, we were expecting, you know, a roller coaster of a project. But nowadays, right, if you're going to put out 7 songs for free, you want those 7 songs to be 100%. These could go to radio. They are, you know, they are presented in a professional manner, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I'm gathering from your conversation. Is that correct?
Right. I think a great way to use free projects now is to do something that is focused and different.
Yeah.
Right. I give you credit. Obviously, I'm biased, but Snooze Button 3 and Praise Break were specifically different from Kairos. Yeah. They were focused efforts. Especially Praise Break.
Praise Break was super focused.
Right. So, you know what would be really interesting coming from the Dream? Do 7 records like Cold.
So kind of make it thematic.
Right. 7 records where you're going to flip classic 90s hip-hop records. Odds are one of those is going to be really dope and might actually make a little bit of noise.
Like, I agree with that.
I'm just not really inspired by this. And what I think is, from a production standpoint, what's really interesting is you talked about, before we start talking about this EP, we were talking about the Usher single, and you said you're glad that BPMs are picking up.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Dream reigned supreme, Atlanta reigned supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a lot of BPMs in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening now is the BPMs are going in opposite directions. Trap is going slow. And a lot of what's on the radio is going faster now. Mainly mm-hmm. It's DJ Mustard.
Mustard, yeah.
Mustard is dragging the BPMs higher. aside from when he does the Prince records, The Dream, he likes to stay in that zone. So the transition to these slower BPMs on the trap side of things has brought about a lot of these production flourishes that you hear in records like Duet, the stuttering hi-hats, the quick, like, rapid-fire, you know, snares, little rolls. Like, those things work because you're slowing them down. He's trying to incorporate those, but he doesn't know how to do... It's almost... He's struggling with the transition to these new BPMs. So, like, I like Duet, but some of these records where he's using these new production flourishes, he's not adjusting the BPMs fully because that's not his zone. So it comes off, there's, like, too much going on. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it doesn't really work, and I sympathize with it because I'm struggling with these new BPMs too. Mm. You know, I'm trying... That's why I'm not even trying to play that game. I'm trying to do something... I'm trying to just find something totally different. I haven't found it yet, but I'm trying. Like, I'm not even trying to do that because that's not my comfort zone. It just so happened that I can, in my head, I can tap out a 74 BPM beat. Like, my life depends on it because I did that so often, and that was a comfort zone for me, right? And The Dream's more talented than I am, so I'm guessing he can do this a little bit better. But radio is not where he is right now, right? He played a role, and he played a role in some of the Beyonce records. So clearly, he's still got. And he did work with some stuff with Jay last year. I mean, he's not relevant. Plus, he had the album. I'm not saying anything like that. But radio is noticeably different this year.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if this is his first sort of, hey, this is The Dream in 2014. This tells me he's struggling with that. But the only thing I can really hold on to as hope is that we just talked about it before. This is not. I don't think that he treated this like an album. These weren't the seven best records he had in the stash.
Mm.
So I'm not that worried. You know what I mean?
I follow you. But isn't this to prelude an album?
You would assume. And if that's the case,
it's called the prequel.
Right. So then there's, you know, you would assume so, but is this getting anybody excited for a Dream album?
Actually, people are talking about this project
right now. Cause there's nothing going. Are they going to talk about it next week?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I just said earlier.
So. Right. You're right. And you know, we're being harsh because look, The Dream has put out incredible music, you know, and I'm not saying he needs to have an album full of fancy. But
you kind of are.
No, I'm saying he's proven that he can put out albums that have lots of different types of dope records. In last year, the project he put out last year is so much better than this. There's not a single record on here I would have put on my 1.5.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just... I don't know.
This is so uninspired to me.
I wasn't a big fan of 1977. I wasn't a big fan of Foreplay. You know, so it's like, at this point, I'll say this though. This is kind of what I'm expecting from Dream at this time. Like,
really?
Get back in the studio with Tricky and really put your foot in the project. Because he has the fan base. I don't know if he's done with Def Jam. I don't know what he could do, but he could totally flourish, you know, not necessarily like 100% independently, but like, you know, with minimal resources. I'll say that.
Okay.
Because he has a fan base to do it. I think he's always going to, he can achieve a certain level of success on his own. That would be, you know, feasible and reasonable. That would be, you know, considered a success.
But but we talked about this last year. The Dream, he acts as though he thinks he should be a superstar, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that's happening right now.
I mean, but homie's not even making superstar music. So you kind of have to, you got to pick and choose. Like, if you want to be a superstar, you kind of have to make superstar records.
Right.
know what I'm saying? Let's look at a superstar. Let's look at Beyonce. Beyonce's album is chock full of superstar records. Now, was the Dreamer part of that process? I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure he was, right?
He did Flawless.
There you go. Yeah, and that sounds like a Dream record. Totally sounds like a Dream record.
It's a Dream hook, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I think the beat is Dream, too.
The second half is, I believe, yes.
So she makes superstar records. You know what I'm saying? I know that
pop that sounds like a very DJ Khaled thing to say.
Superstar records. No, this sounds like DJ Khaled.
The new DJ Khaled EP, Heavy Breathing.
Just heavy breathing, and it will be a visual experience of him taking selfie videos and moving around, showing different parts of the gym.
I'm really serious. Does he have somebody on payroll for that?
Yes. Did you see the other one? Where? Because I've seen the selfie ones.
I don't follow him on social media. I don't know how much clearer I can be. Are you sure?
I'm positive. I might go lurk for a minute.
I changed.
I changed a lot. I want to see how much he changed. Can I be interested in that? Can I want to know how much he's changed? Can I want to be inspired to change too? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Khaled.
Oh my goodness.
But back to Beyonce, she makes records that are indicative of her status. So she makes records, you know what, you want to go on tour? You want to sell out stadiums? You do what Kanye coined is stadium music. You make big records. You know what I'm saying? Like Dream, if he wants to be a superstar, he needs to make bigger records.
Right. I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, if you didn't listen to our Dream episode from 2013, you should. And you should actually, any Dream episode we've ever done, you should listen to. Because is it last year where we broke down Fancy like second by second?
Wherever the Dream retro was, because did we do the Dream retrospective for Foreplay or did we do it for 1977?
I can't remember. Maybe Foreplay.
I think we did it for 1977.
All right. Well, whichever one we did.
I think it was 2012. But yeah, the Dream Red Show is really, really good. Super underrated episode. I might go back and listen to that myself. I've got a 8-hour drive ahead of me this weekend, so I might load up some Clock Radio speakers in the clip. Fire off a couple rounds, you know what I'm saying? Bang, bang.
And that concludes. Anything else you want to talk about this week? Anything else you want to say about the Dream?
Nah, man. Have you been on Twitter?
Silently trying to see if anything happened with LeBron.
He left the meeting about 20 minutes ago.
Without nothing.
Did not commit. The last report I saw said that he wants to go and speak with his family. So of course, Twitter is making a big deal of that. When that should be natural, you should want to discuss with your family before making a large, heavy, big decision like that. So, but he said no decision tonight.
Right. The LeBron watch continues.
Bum, bum, bum.
Anything else you want to say this week, man?
Nah, I'm good, man.
Any got anything to plug? Any appearances coming up soon?
Nope. I've got some things in the tuck, but nothing to announce yet.
All right. Well, as always, we hope you all appreciate this episode. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. Are we being too harsh on the Dream?
Shit. It's your boy.
Young Armand.
Who? Sorry.
And as always, follow the show on Twitter @CRS Podcast. Follow us both on Twitter. As always, we appreciate it, and we'll catch y'all later.